this morning. Do you believe that? Do you believe that to be true today? That God calls us to be people of freedom, people of purpose. He doesn't call us to be bound up in the things of the world, but he calls us to be liberated, people of freedom in Jesus Christ. What I want to ask you to do just before we listen to God's word together is I've started to do this new thing, and I started it just before the Christmas services, and I believe it was fruitful. I come to church a little bit early on Sunday mornings, and I've started just to walk down the aisles and put my hand on each row and just pray profoundly that God will come by his power in this place. In our Christmas services, and really speak to people. Myself and Daniel and Jonathan, I had lots of fantastic conversations over our Christmas services with people who are searching for Jesus. Like somebody on Facebook said, I got bullied into going to Rayleigh Baptist Church for the 5 o'clock carol service, but I encountered a God who was real, and I want to know more about him. So what I want to ask you to do, okay, just before we listen to God's word, I want to ask you to do two things. First of all, I want you to share the peace with the person next to you. If you don't want to hug them, I did this once before when I first arrived, and I got told off because people don't like to hug. If you don't want to hug, just shake their hand. If you don't want to shake their hand, give them a cheeky smile. Do whatever you want to do. But share the peace with people. And then after that, I want you to stand where you are, and in twos and threes, I want you to pray in that location of this sanctuary that this year, in this place, and in other places as well, because we're not just going to be here in this place this year. More about that in a minute. But just pray that God's power will come in this place this year and he would radically change people's lives this year. Can you do that for me? One, two, three, off we go. Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to stand in twos or threes and I want you to pray. Can you do that just for a few moments? Stand in twos or threes and just pray. Yeah, find somebody to pray with. Jonathan? Find somebody to pray with. Stand where you are and pray. Pray some big prayers. Amen. Just draw those prayers to a close whenever it's suitable. And as you do that, I'm going to invite Les. Les, come and just talk with us for a second. Les is going to make an executive decision. Where's Les? What happened with Les? He couldn't get out of his chair. He's been partying too much. Is my family here yet? Oh, yeah, my wife. Well done, darling. Good morning.
Well, good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. You will have seen from the notice sheet that we are planning a fellowship walk immediately after this service. The weather is, I think inclement is the word that is used on the by the TV broadcasters. Let me just tell you a bit about it first of all. It's a walk at Belfairs Park. It's very family friendly. It's along a short discovery trail, which has got things for children to spot and so on. So it's quite interesting from that perspective. It takes about 45 minutes to an hour maximum. It's a very easy walking on a good marked path. For people who don't know how to get to Belfairs Park, there's some little leaflets on the table by the door which give you directions. Parking there could be a problem, but given the weather, it might not be too bad. So if you are planning to go, then I suggest you try and do car share wherever possible. It will be muddy. So suitable footwear is definitely advised. Having said all that, can I ask for a rough idea of how many people actually intend to come? Because Sue and I have done it several times before. We don't really need to do it again today, but we're quite happy to do it if people want to go. So hands up, please, if you are planning to come. Okay, that's enough. We can give it a go.
I'm going.
Yep, okay. Well, we can give that a go. It says in the notice sheet, I think, that we'll meet by the bowling green in Belfairs Park. What I forgot when I wrote that is that there are two bowling greens in Belfairs Park. So we'll actually meet outside the toilets because the toilets are very easy to see as you go in, and they're midway between the two bowling greens.
Right.
So we'll see you outside the toilets at Belfairs Park.
At what time?
We were planning to go straight from here, so...
All right, let's get cracking then.
Yeah? Okay, preach. Well, forget the preach, we'll just go now.
I'm at the church at 6 o'clock working on it. Okay, good. Church, just want to, they're yours.
Thank you.
I can't preach from that.
You can if you want.
Yeah, great. I just want to speak for a few moments, because Les... I've said otherwise. So let me just ask you a couple of questions. And first of all, I want to just say to you, Happy New Year. And I'm really excited by what God is going to do among us this year. And we'll be speaking about that more in the next couple of weeks. But I just want to ask you how you are with planning. I don't know if you're a good planner or a bad planner. I don't know if you organize things in your life to make sure that things happen. But I want to plead with you today that actually this year, in the life of our fellowship here in this place, that we plan to make more time to encounter God in our lives. All of us know that actually if you want to get anything done, you need to plan it. But actually this year, I want to encourage us to take our spiritual needs more seriously than we did last year. I want us to apply more earnestly planning to maximize our relationship with Jesus and to understand what Jesus has to do for us in the coming year. Do you know what I mean? I don't know about you, but in my home, everything is planned. You know, we know where we're going. We have to plan what we're going to eat during the week. We need to plan who's going to go shopping. We need to plan who's going to work, when they're going to work, who gets the children to school, etc., etc. And so actually we work around this whole scheme that actually our whole lives are planned for us. But actually God was a God of planning too. God had many things that he planned and many things that he's still planning for his world to be fully fulfilled. And the planning of God, I just want to read a couple of scriptures to you. But God was a God of ultimate planning. And Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 10 says, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring to the ends from the beginning and from the ancient times things yet not done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will accomplish all my purposes. You see, God is a God of planning. God wants to accomplish all his purposes that he has for us and for the world. We only needed to switch on our TVs last night to see Istanbul nightclub bombing of 39 people dead and Baghdad bombing. And then we need to also look at the hope that there is in our world as Russia and Turkey talk about Syria and how to make a world a better place. But actually, God is in the business of planning, and he wants to accomplish all his purposes in this world. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10 says, God has made known to us all in wisdom and insight and the mystery of will according to his purpose, that God has a plan for his fulfillment to take place, both here to unite all things on earth as in heaven. You see, God has a plan to have the fulfillment of what he has planned to come together. And then Jesus says in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, that according to the divine plan that God has for his world, that all people may come to know what and who Jesus is. Since God is a God who is a God of planning and who is a God who has an approachable understanding of what he wants in the world, we need to also do that too. But Jesus had a mission to accomplish and finish all that he had planned. You know, when Jesus was walking on earth, he had a plan of the things that he had to do, the things that he had to achieve according to the Father's will for him. It grieves me and it concerns me greatly that in our nation over the last few years, that the evangelical Christians seem to be more focused on what they plan to do for themselves rather than what they plan to do for God's kingdom. And the more we allow that thing to happen, the less salvations we see and the less revival we will see in God's church. If you haven't worked it out, I've been here 2 years now, and if you haven't worked it out already, I'm a pastor who wants to see growth, who wants to see faith, who wants to see revival, and wants to see new people coming to Jesus. I don't mind new people from other churches coming from time to time. That's okay, but it doesn't excite me as much as new people coming to a new faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. But Jesus had a mission to accomplish the plans that he had. When his mother urged him to do a miracle at the wedding in Cana, he said, my hour is not yet come, in John chapter 2, verse 4. There was a planned and appropriate hour for God to show his sovereign power to the world. We see it in Luke 9, 51. When the days grew near for him to be received up and set his face to go to Jerusalem, he knew the plan would mean that he would die for the sake of the world. The Father and the Son have a plan. The Father's plan is very clearly seen in John 10, 18. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I had the power to lay it down, and I had the power to take it again. This charge I receive from my Father. So when we look at Jesus and we look at God, there's a plan. There's a plan for the world. And when we look at our lives, there's always plans. But so often we plan our lives so strategically that we plan Jesus out of them rather than plan Jesus into them. And I want to plead but also encourage you today that this year, as we plan what we're going to do this year, let us not forget Jesus. And you might say, well, Pastor, don't be so silly. How can you say that? But I can guarantee that 99.99% of us here, if not 100% of us here, often make so many plans for our life, but so often forget Jesus in them. 2017, I believe, I may be wrong, and if I am, then maybe that's just what it is, but I don't think I am. I believe that 2017 is going to be a different year for us. I believe that we're going to see different things that we've never seen before. We're really encouraged as a staff just a few weeks ago. A couple of months ago, we met with a youth and children's pastor, really encouraged by him. He wrote to us and he said, I'm sorry, but I'm not sure it's quite right for me at the moment. He wrote back to us just a few days before Christmas and said, actually, God's spoken to me about a windmill. And I didn't realize there's a windmill in Rayleigh, and God's given me these scriptures, etc., etc. I want to sit down with you in early January, so we're going to do that. You see, God's got his plans. And I'm encouraged because if I think of any area in our church that needs some infusion and dedication, is our youth and children's work. But I believe that this year we're going to see things that we've never seen before. I'm trusting in a big God. I don't know if you are. I'm trusting in God to do things in my life that he's never done before. I'm trusting God to do things in this church that he's never done before. But my very specific plea for this new year is this, that you and I plan the most important things in our lives. Plan. I want to encourage us this year that we plan how we're going to spend time with our spouses to deepen our strength and our relationship with our husbands and wives. This last year, I've seen relationships, marital relationships in this church that need so much more strengthening. And I'm praying this year that those of us who are married, we're going to invest in our marriages this year more than we did last year. I'm praying this year that we plan to spend more time playing and teaching our children about the Lord this year. Maybe that's just for me, but maybe it's for you as well. But actually to play with our children, but also to teach our children the things of Jesus. To plan how we get enough exercise and stay healthy. Now, Pastor's going to try this year too, but I don't need any encouragement or disencouragement from you. Just let me try and do it on my own. Pray for me though. I want us to plan this year in our lives that we get enough sleep, some of us, so that we can serve the Lord better. I never heard a church so much tell me how tired they are. Let's have some more sleep so we can do the things God wants us to do. You know what? But the most thing, I want us to make sure this year as a church that we plan to take time of holidays and rest and relaxation and spiritual renewal so that we can encounter God. I'm really excited about this year. If you haven't heard, September, October, November, I'm not here for 3 months. I'm on sabbatical. And I'm really praying that God would really encounter me spiritually like he never has done before. But the most important thing is actually, those things are really important. But the most important thing is that we plan how we're going to pray and meditate on the word of God more so that it can be more of a profound significance in our life. That's what I want to pray for us all this year. That's my prayer for you today. That's my prayer for you this morning as I walk down every aisle and put my hand on every seat. That actually this year we would plan strategically our prayer and our meditation and our study of God this year. Now you might say, well, no, Pastor, what do you mean plan it? Well, let me tell you something. If I don't plan something in my life, it doesn't happen. And for a lot of us in this room, the thing that we lose often and the thing that gets taken away in our planning of life is often our planning and our time with Jesus. Without a plan, the most important things just get pushed away because there's more urgent, pressing needs. And actually, we deceive ourselves to think that the more urgent, pressing needs are to spend time with our family. I'm sorry, but I don't think that is. To spend time with our friends. I'm sorry, I think that's good, but it's not the most important priority. To eat and have fellowship with each other. Yes, it's an important thing, but it's not the most important thing. Actually, the most important thing is to build our relationship with Jesus, that this year we encounter Jesus in a way that we've never encountered him before. But actually, you know and I know, when pressures come upon our lives, the thing that often gets the kick into touch is not the work, because we have to work, or family, or friends, or food, or laughter. But often the thing that gets kicked into touch the quickest is who? Jesus. How dare we kick him to touch? Jesus. The one who saved us, the one who has delivered us, the one who has given us liberation and freedom. And the one who has a perfect plan for your life and my life so that we will see fruitfulness and God's kingdom will come. So I want to simply encourage you this year to make time in your life to plan strategically your encounters with Jesus. I would be expecting, I'll be making it a priority this year that the ministerial staff at this church take a full day each month away from the church, away from their offices, to sit and to seek God. If you've got a problem with that, speak to Jesus. I will make sure that we as a leadership team this year make time to sit at the feet of Jesus and to strategically plan that so we can strategically encounter Jesus, so we can take the church to the place where Jesus wants it to be. So let me just wrap up with simply saying this. Planning is pinnacle. Jesus believes in it. God believes in it. We believe in it. In every other aspect of our life. But may this be the year where we believe in it for our relationship with Jesus. I was preparing just an interview for a Christian magazine just a few weeks ago. And they asked me, you know, as a pastor, what is the joy of a pastor? I had to stand and sit and think for a moment, and I said, the joy of a pastor is seeing people spiritually move on in their relationship with God. And the joy of a pastor is seeing people come through the waters of baptism into new faith in Jesus. I said, that for me is the best job of being a pastor. I said, what are some of the hard jobs of being a pastor? I said, actually, one of some of the hard jobs of being a pastor is conducting funerals, and pray for me. I've got four in the next 2 weeks. I'd appreciate your prayers to conduct, that is. But actually, so often, well, the hardest thing for me as a pastor is on Sunday after Sunday to stand before people and see great potential and see great godliness and great purpose in people's lives. And week after week, we step aside from them and we make our own plans and we ignore Jesus in them. And as I said that to this guy who was doing this interview, he said, you know what? I'm increasingly finding more pastors say that now than they ever did before. So this year, let us look back and thank God for what he did last year. Let us look forward and trust God in a way that we've never trusted God before this year. Let us look around and serve God in new ways like we've never done before. This year, in a couple of weeks' time, you're going to be invited to a new Missional Expressions meeting. We're going to try and just take the gospel to where the people are at this year in ways that we have never done before. So look around and serve God. But above all those things, would you look up with me? And would you seek God more? Because there's nothing greater than the Father loves than when you and I, his children, seek him more. Now let me be honest with you, church, in closing. Do I get it right? No, I don't. Do I try as hard as I can? Yes, I do. Do I fail at times? Does God help me in that? Absolutely. Do people? Not often. Does God? Yes, always. But my focus has to be, my focus has to be to engage in God more so that he fulfills the purposes he's had in me more. How many people are in our community today who are only going to get to know Jesus this year if you tell them? And if you choose not to, are you going to be able to live with that? You can go to the shop today and you can get a new yearly planner. And you can write when you're going on holiday, and you can write when you're going to have sabbatical like I will. And you can write all these things. And you can get it all scheduled out and all programmed out. And you can feel comfortable about it. But I want to encourage you this year to get another planner. And get two. And I want to encourage you with this other planner. Well, let's call it the Jesus planner. And I want to encourage you to get that. And I want you to write down on a weekly basis, even on a daily basis if you can. I know that sounds a bit radical, but Jesus loves to talk to us daily. But on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, a weekly basis, and a monthly basis, I want you to get a journal and a planner. And I want you to write down when you're going to engage in God. Not engage in running or spinning or eating or family or friends or church. All that's great. But when are you going to this year set aside time, plan time to connect with Jesus? Because you know what? I believe, I've been praying about this for the last couple of weeks, that if we do that, God is going to profoundly encounter us and bring words of knowledge and words of scripture, words of prophecy to us as his people. And so I want to encourage you to strategically this year, don't just walk a walk with Jesus and forget who he really is, but strategically plan your life with him this year. Trust in him, but plan your life alongside him. In our house yesterday, I wasn't there, unfortunately, but they told me when I came back, I missed it. I was out playing golf. And why do I do that? I never seem to get any better, but I still like the walk. And Antoinette was with the children, and they told me when I came back, and they said they were just talking about all the things that they could thank God for last year and all the things that they found a struggle. But they're also looking forward to the new year, saying, God, what are you going to do in me? And asking God to really just use them like he never has done before. But if we want God to use us, we need to strategically allow him in. And to do that, we need to make sure that we plan, that he's part of our life and he's not excluded from it. Over Christmas, I had a funny Christmas this year, just for many reasons, but one of the joys of Christmas Day, actually, was to go to sit with John for a while. Come on, John, come up here. I sat with John in Southend Hospital for a while. We didn't have any mince pies, did we? We had a few cheeky chocolates. And John wasn't allowed to move, so we were all running and he couldn't follow us. But John, you wanted just a few minutes this morning just to say something. We're really grateful that you're looking so good. For those of you who didn't know, John was in hospital. And also Gareth was in hospital. Can he speak? Hello. So let's remember Gareth Green. I saw him last night. He had surgery and John was in hospital as well. But John, you wanted to just share a few words with us. Do that now.
Thank you. For those that you don't know, I spent Christmas in Southend Hospital after having two major strokes. And a testimony to God's love to me and the prayers from my fellows here is that I've got no disabilities, as you can see. I'm tired, but I'm all in one piece. But one of the things it done for me, it was a wake-up call for me personally. And it was a wake-up call because I realised that life is very tenuous. And did I have any issues in my life that needed to be attended to? Did I want to say sorry to somebody that I may have offended? Did I want to forgive somebody that had offended me? Did I want to say thank you to somebody that I ought to have been thank you? And I'm going to deal with those issues this year. But what I want to say to you is that strokes can occur to anybody at any time. Any one of you could have a stroke and you wouldn't know. It doesn't discriminate. It just catches up on you. There's no warning. And my message to you this morning is, if you have unresolved issues in your life, if you need to say to somebody, I'm sorry, if you need to forgive somebody that's offended you, if you need to say thank you or I love you to somebody, can I plead with you to do it now or very, very quickly? Because, like me, you could finish up at Southend Hospital with a major stroke. So bless you and thank you for your prayers.
Bless you. Thank you, sir. And, you know what? Absolutely. And I think I don't know what John was going to say. Worship band, why don't you come and join me? You know what? Life is fragile and it can be taken away so quickly from us. And some of you know that in this church today. And I'm praying for you, all those who are grieving, you know who you are and know that I'm praying for you. But also, you know what? I don't know about you, but maybe my theology's gone a bit wrong and the chaps will tell me later. But I don't want to get to heaven one day and God say to me, Scott, I needed you to do that. And you never did. I needed you to do that thing and you never did. And the only way I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do, if I fully allow him to take total control of my life. And the only way God's going to fully do what he wants to do with this church, it might not be what we want to happen with this church, but actually it's more important what God wants to do with this church. It's about me saying, look, Lord, I give myself to you today and tomorrow and the next day. I ask that you be my father. I ask that you love me, even though I'm fairly unlovable at times. But I ask that you would lead me by your spirit to the places that you want me to be, for me to do the things you want me to do. You know, life's tough at times. But actually, I look around the world, as I said today, and see the heartache in our world today. And I quickly remind myself how grateful I am and how thankful I am for what I have and where I am. You know, we're going to sing two songs to close, but I simply want to say this. Don't allow the devil to cover up the potential that God has in your life this year. Don't allow him to do that. Be more savvy than that. Be more strategic than that. Plan better in that. And ask God to do in you what he's never done before. I pray that prayer often, and it's a big prayer, but it's an exciting one. Some of you have sat there this morning saying, well, I haven't really got much time left, and I haven't got much more I can offer. You know what? Don't be deceived by the devil. It's not a place where we talk about the devil. We talk about what God can do for us. But allow him into your life. But to do that, you need to plan for him to be part of your life. Church, can I plead with you? Can I assure you of my prayers for you? And Daniel and Jonathan's prayers, and maybe Ricky, you never know, in the next couple of months. As pastors, we seek to love you. We seek to inspire you. We seek to follow. We seek to help you follow Jesus. But now of our prayers for you. And our prayers for you this year is that we can help you this year to have more time with Jesus so you can be more fruitful for him. Because that's what it's about at the end of the day. So let's sing a couple of songs to finish. And then if it's not raining, we're going for a walk. Angela, you've got to go for a walk. Get your steps in. Come on. All right. Doesn't matter, a bit of rain, you won't wash away. All right, dear me, a bit of rain. Right, let's stand then, church. Even that, if not, come and speak to Jonathan after the service. He'll be around to talk to you. You should all believe in that. But also, we shouldn't just believe it and keep it in for ourselves, but we should declare that in a way that's relevant to a world that needs to know. We're going to finish by singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And let's sing it with a bit of gusto, a bit of believing, a bit of power, a bit of that we're happy to be here. Let's do it. Father, we want to stand before we leave and we want to thank you. We want to first and foremost thank you for who you are. We want to thank you that you sent Jesus to die, to give us life, and life in all its fullness. We want to thank you, Father God, for your heart that loves us, forgives us, restores us, equips us, encourages us each and every day. Lord, we thank you for your love that you lavish upon us as your people. And Lord, as we go from this place now, we pray that we would demonstrate that to a world that needs to know it. Lord, we know that we're imperfect, but we know through your Spirit living within us, you help us to reveal you more clearly. So we pray that you would do that. We pray, Father God, that you would use us in ways that we've never imagined before. We pray that you would help us to make you a priority. We all know in our own lives, in our own hearts, how much of a priority you are in our lives. We pray that we'd make you a priority and that we'd be happy with our relationship with you today. So let's all finish by saying, we don't do this very often, but let's say the grace to each other. If you don't know the grace, just that smile, and somebody will smile back. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Listen, have a great day. Make sure you relax, have fun. But make sure Jesus is part of it too. Bless you.